Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker is Dr. Jim Berg, Dean of Students at BJU.
Well, take your Bible this morning and turn to Joshua chapter 1. How many are completing a degree with this course you're just finishing up, or these courses? All right, several of you. All right. Most of you probably already marched, and you've already heard of baccalaureate service and all of that. But I thought we would look in Joshua 1 at God's first commencement address and see what he has to say here. This is a graduation from the academy in the wilderness. It was longer than a four-year stint. It was 40 years to go through this. While today a lot of people drop out of college, in this day in the academy in the wilderness, a lot of people drop dead in their pilgrimage. But we have two of the original students. All but two of the original students have died. Joshua and Caleb are to be commended. And we want to look at what God has to say to them. Moses has just finished a very lengthy baccalaureate address, recalling the history and reminding them of his ways and preparing them for this transition in leadership over to Joshua. And I think the people at this time are excited, but understandably fearful. They're going into an unknown land, and perhaps they have heard rumors again of the giants in this land. There were seven occupying pagan nations in Canaan here, and the Jordan River was before them, and it was engorged with the recent seasonal rains, and there was no barge, and there was no bridge, and no way to get across there in normal means. Well, as all of this unfolds, God gives these people and Joshua three charges as they're about to commence into Canaan. And all of those charges are identified by the words in our authorized version, be strong and of a good courage. In other words, be strong and be brave. And I want us to look at each of those three statements. But before we do that, let's read the first nine verses and then we'll look at these three charges. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. And as this unfolds, as we read this, I do want you to notice that before God talks to them about what they must do as they go into the land, he is reminding them of all of these provisions he has made ahead of time for them. And that's very instructive for us. Because there isn't anything that God asks us to do that he hasn't already equipped us or made provision for us to be able to do. Now, that is encouraging, folks. There's not a single thing that God can ask you to do, whether some of you might be going home to difficult situations. You may face financial giants. You may face health giants or opposition in some other fashion. But there isn't anything that God asks us to do that he has not promised to help us with and equip us for. And I want you to notice these statements as we go through these first few verses. And in verse 2 there, he says, and all this people unto the land which I do give to them. God says, I've done some things on your behalf. I've promised you this land, even to the children of Israel. He says, every place, listen to this promise, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. I already know what I'm going to do with you, and I will fulfill it. As I said unto Moses, verse 4, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Another promise here. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. That's an amazing promise. They didn't often act on that promise, but that is a phenomenal promise. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So then he goes on, verse 6, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. He's speaking to Joshua and the people here. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. This is the second time it shows up. That thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Or you'll have this success in this mission. This book of the law, verse 8, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success in this mission. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So he's giving them a charge after he reminds them of these promises. And then we won't spend any time on this, but I need to point this out. I want to point this out. Verses 10, Joshua now addresses the people and says, yes, let's go ahead and do this. I want you to notice the humor of our God in verse 16 and 17. And verse 16, and they answered Joshua. The people answered Joshua back, saying, all that thou commandest us, we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. And listen to this. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Oh, that's really encouraging. You know, we're going to follow you just like we followed Moses. That'd make you kind of want to resign right there. But this is what Joshua is facing. And the people are getting ready to go in. So the first command he gives them that is around this statement, be strong and of good courage. In verse 6, he says, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for the inheritance of the land. And the first command here is, because I've done all of these things and I made these provisions and I promised you, I want you to conquer the land. As I mentioned, that meant there were seven immoral, polytheistic, pagan nations that God wanted to judge. And that meant some work for them. Turn to Numbers chapter 33. We're going to turn to several passages this morning as this unfolds. So you might feel like you're in a junior high sword drill this morning, but hang on to your Bible here. Numbers chapter 33. Here's a warning of what would happen if they didn't drive out these people, if they didn't conquer the land. Chapter 33, verse 50, and the Lord spake unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, when ye are passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you and destroy all their pictures and destroy all their molten images and quite pluck down or demolish their high places. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. And ye shall divide the land by lot for an inheritance among your families, and to the more ye shall give the more inheritance, and to the fewer ye shall give the less inheritance. Every man's inheritance shall be in the place where his lot falleth, according to the tribes of your fathers ye shall inherit. But if ye will not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall come to pass that those which ye let remain of them shall be pricks or barbs in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. Moreover, it shall come to pass that I shall do unto you as I thought to do unto them. That's pretty strong. There's no peaceful coexistence. You don't sign treaties with these people and say, well, if you'll do this, we'll do this. They're under my judgment. They're under my ban. And your job is to destroy them. Well, there are some pitiful results of that. Turn over to Judges chapter 1. They took the easy way out. Of course, battling giants and battling nations is hard work. And they just went so far with it. And if you look in Judges chapter 1, look at verse 19. And the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley because they had chariots of iron. Verse 21, and the children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites. Verse 27, neither did Manasseh drive out the inhabitants of Bethshean. Verse 28, and it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites to tribute. Now, if you're strong enough to make them slaves, you're also strong enough to have destroyed them. And they didn't obey. They decided to do this on their own terms. They put the Canaanites to tribute and did not utterly drive them out. Verse 29, neither did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites. Verse 30, neither did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron. Verse 31, neither did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Accho. Verse 32, but the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Verse 33, neither did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth-Shemesh. Well, we don't have enemies that we're to kill in this same way, but there is an important lesson for us, and that is for us, our battle isn't for a land, but it is for our souls. And we must deal with these enemy lusts that are in us. And Paul and the other New Testament writers address this again and again. We don't kill people in this way, but we are to mortify our lusts. We're to drain the life out of these lusts, which these deceitful lusts, which draw us away from God. Would you turn over to 1 Peter? 1 Peter 2. Very poignant statement here by the apostle. Verse 9. But you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people, a people of his own, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You and I are to be the representatives of what it is like to walk with Christ here on this earth. Verse 10, he says, which in time past were not a people, but you are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul. So we're not warring against pagan nations. We are warring against these lusts, Peter says, which fight us in our souls. And we need to ask ourselves and constantly be going through the scriptures to for God to remind us, what enemies are we tolerating in our own souls? What about our worry? What about sensuality? What about materialism? What about laziness? What about greed? What about pride? You and I fight these every day. I fight these lusts every day. And you do as well. And Paul reminds us that these are deceitful lusts. They will lie to you. I've been going through Proverbs here recently and just struck with the themes again that there is a good and there is evil. And Proverbs is so good at putting these in contrast. We get into a world where all of that is kind of blended together. And we've got to go back to the scriptures again and again to remind us what really is evil and what really is good. And the second theme that I notice in Proverbs continually is sowing and reaping. Whichever one you sow, you will reap that. And our lusts lie to us. They say, you can do this and it won't matter. That's a lie. Sowing and reaping are built into God's economy. There is a good and evil, and if we sow evil, we will reap destruction. If we sow the good in the power of the Spirit of God, we will reap a life that tastes like eternal life, that God is not mocked in Galatians 6. And this is where our battle is. And Israelites, when they first came into the land, at the first sight of a Philistine, would send chills up and down their spine, especially if he was 9 feet tall. But, you know, you can get used to Philistines in the land. You know, and they're not really bothering you and you're not really bothering them. And when you and I really reflect upon what's going on in our souls, God every once in a while knocks the lid off the trash can of my heart. And I smell what's in there. And he never wants me to get used to Philistines in the land. And he doesn't want you and me to get used to these deceitful lusts that war against our soul. And our world, the entertainment world and the people in the world are constantly making it appear as if these evil things are not evil and that people can have good success and still indulge in these things. These are lies. And this is where our battle is. And this is why the scriptures are so important. We've got to be reminded of this continually. God said, I want you to drive the enemies out. Romans 8:13 says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you mortify the deeds in the power of the Spirit, you shall live. Romans 13:14 says, make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. These are the kind of warnings that maybe our parents give us and our pastor give us. This is what God gives us because this is a danger for us. You can't get used to the Philistines in the land or you will be destroyed by them. So he says, be strong and be brave and conquer the land. And we are commanded to conquer our lusts. And then if you go back to Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, he says, be strong and brave. Master the law. Master the law. This, folks, is our stability. We can't just read the Bible one time or as occasionally this kind of thing. I was kind of a smart aleck when I was in school, and when I was in junior high, and you know, there are vestiges of that that still remain. But I remember when the movie The Bible came out. I mean, that's a long time ago. And our family didn't go to movies, and everybody was talking about it. They would say, "Did you go see the Bible?" And I said, "No, I read the book." You know, well, it's just kind of a smart aleck way. But God wants us to read this book. Master the law. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. This is what you speak of. And Jesus had the same idea toward this in Matthew 7. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he gives this invitation. This is why I think Jesus probably was Baptist like I am, because he gives an invitation at the end of his sermon. He says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them is like unto a wise man that built his house on a rock. And the rains descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it did not fall, for it was founded on this rock. But whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not is like unto a foolish man that builds his house on the sand and the rains descend and the floods came and the winds blow and the house fell and great was the fall of it." Jesus is saying, you cannot make it, I cannot make it, you cannot make it, folks, without mastering this law. This book of the law must not depart out of our mouth. We must meditate therein day and night. Jesus said in Matthew 4, quoting the Old Testament, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God gave the children of Israel manna. He gave them wonderful gifts in this way. But he also gave them the word to tell them how to use the gifts, or the gifts would be of no benefit to them. And God has given us wonderful gifts. He's given us a free country. He's given us health, and he's given us opportunity, and he's given us all of these things. But we don't just live by these things he's given us, but by every word that proceeds out of his mouth about how to use these things he has given us, shall we live. We can't just use manna any way we want. We can't just use our lives and what he has given us any way we want. But it's by every word that proceedeth out of his mouth shall we live and use these things. And again, you're familiar with these verses in Romans 12, 2. He says, I don't want you to be conformed to this world, but I want you to be transformed by the renewing of your minds. This is the only way we're going to be transformed, is to be in this book. I want to encourage you. I have seen anorexics and bulimics and rape and incest victims and men and women enslaved in pornography and kinky lusts and children of prostitutes and many, many, many of these kinds of things. I've seen people struggling with these things be transformed by the renewing of their minds. It's just absolutely astonishing to watch God take somebody like that. I was talking with a man who had been sexually abused by gangs in his town. He went through BJU here and just kind of made it by the skin of his teeth spiritually and every other way. And then he got married and the marriage was starting to have a lot of trouble. And he realized there's so many issues of bitterness and problems in my past I really need to deal with. And we sat down and started helping him in some respects. But what really changed him, he heard a message on WMUU and he put it on a tape, and he drives truck. And he listened to that tape over and over again. It was a saturation of the Word of God. He said, after 35 listens to that tape, God gave me the freedom to think right. Well, folks, it takes that kind of saturation of the Word. This isn't a one-time thing. You meditate in this day and night. I was talking to a lady a couple of weekends ago in another city, and she said, for all of my adult life, for the last 17 years, she said, my life has been a depressive mess. She said, I was on 10 different medications, most of them psychiatric medications and then medications to override the side effects of those medications. She said, I was in a fog all the time. And her husband was standing there and he was saying, yeah, it was a mess. She said, my next step was a mental hospital. And she said, I got a hold of a series of sermons. I couldn't even think. I couldn't even read my Bible. She said, I knew that I needed to be in the Word, and I listened to tapes of Scripture and tapes of sermons. And she said, 24/7, every time I'm awake, all the time when I'm awake, I had my iPod plugged in the last 3.5 years. And she said, God has changed my life. I'm off every medication. I am a cheerful believer. God is making me fruitful in the lives of other people. And her husband is standing there nodding. He said, she's a different woman. All of us recognize this is not the woman we've been around for the last several years. You know what it was, folks? It was the Word of God. She was transformed by the renewing of her mind. And it's a thrilling thing to watch. Dr. Bob Sr. used to say, there is no problem of man that can't be fixed by the Scriptures if taken in big enough doses. Do you know what our problem is? We don't take it in very big doses. A little salt and pepper kind of shaken on our lives, and that's it. And when it's not the salt and pepper of life, it's the meat and potatoes of our life. And so Joshua says, be strong and be brave, master the law. And then thirdly, in verse 9, he says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. What is the last thing? Trust the Lord. Conquer this land, conquer the lusts, master the word, and trust this God who has done all of this for us. And isn't this a danger for us too, especially if we're not in the word? It is so easy for us not to even think about God. It is for me. I can go hours and hours and not have one thought of God and get so used to doing my ministry and everything else and God not be in the picture unless I'm constantly in this word. He says, trust in the Lord. Where do we turn for help? Do we turn to others? Do we turn to ourselves? Worry is when we constantly keep turning to ourselves for answers in our head. Or do we turn to the Lord? He says, the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. How is Joshua going to cross the Jordan? How is he going to defeat Jericho? How is he going to make the sun stand still at Gibeon? It's going to be the Lord that does that. How are you going to make it through whatever challenges God has for you? Only by the Lord. How am I going to make it? Only by the Lord. My dad is with the Lord, but he was a repairman and he could fix anything. And when I had something need to be fixed in our house, it didn't take me that long to figure out who to call. I didn't wade through yellow pages thinking, all right, who's going to fix my refrigerator? I knew right away, just instantly who was going to do that, because I knew his competence and I knew his disposition toward me. He'd want to help. That's our God, folks. It shouldn't take us that long to know where to turn to if we know the Lord. Well, like Israel, many of you are about ready to commence on some new responsibilities. And God says to you, be strong, be brave, conquer the land, master the law, trust the Lord.
You've been listening to The Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Jim Berg, Dean of Students at BJU. For a cassette or compact disc copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.